Good morning. 7:41 in the morning, Tuesday, March 13th, 2012. A lovely day. A lovely day in the neighborhood. It's a little chilly. It's, according to the thermometer, it's almost 40, but I'm not sure I believe it. I'm not seeing my breath. It feels cold enough that I could. I'm bundled up. I'm wearing fleece and a sweater and my hood, and I've got the parka hood up, and I'm not too warm. Not yet, anyway. I may be before we get to the end of the walk, but for the moment, I'm still a little cool, a little chilly. Big news for the day. Let's see. Yesterday I was, I had a post on amwriting.org about collusion and the Department of Justice and the sky is falling mentality that a lot of people seem to be having about the fact that the Department of Justice is investigating some people for windowing, which in reality is not what they're investigating them for. They're investigating them for collusion and price fixing. And the process of using windowing as a tool to allow that to happen. The actual doing it isn't a problem. It's the collusion to do it. That's the issue. It falls under the category of RICO. It wasn't very well received. I don't care. It's all right. It was one of those toss-away posts I had to do because I owed one. This morning's news is that the podcast I did with Tristan Gregory at the Roundtable a couple of weeks ago has gone live this morning. That's available on, I think it's the Roundtable podcast. There's a link in the sidebar of this blog, so you should be able to find it easily enough. And if you're on Twitter at all, Dave gets a little out of hand, I think, with his postings, but I understand why he does it. He doesn't have a lot of followers, so he makes it up in quantity of posts rather than quantity of listeners. I'm teasing a little bit. Let's see what else. Let me think. I can't think of anything. The biggie is that this is the last week for my class before they go on spring break. And then I go away to Oregon for the workshop the following week. So I really need to catch up with grading. I made a little podcast for them this morning to talk a bit about the, aggravating little beasts. So I made a little podcast this morning talking about horoscope posts. This is a post where you can take out the name of the author and substitute any other name and still have the post make as much sense. It's a bit of a problem in that it's becoming quite widespread in my class, and there are a lot of people who are writing single paragraph blog posts about topics that, if they were really thinking about them, probably would take several pages, at least two or three paragraphs, in order to explore them. So it's readily apparent that they're paying absolutely no attention to it whatsoever. They're skimming through the chapters, writing a quick post, and then walking away, thinking that they've done their task for the week. And I haven't been really good about keeping them up to grade, so they haven't been getting that feedback on a regular basis. So I have to take a certain amount of heat for it myself. I did warn them. I've warned them repeatedly. And I suppose the only real way I'm going to get through to them is through the message of their grade. So I wrote a little bit yesterday, made some progress on the bulldog story. Got to get that done. I got to get that done before I go away because the rough draft is contractually due by the end of the month. And I don't want to have to do it while I'm gone. So I keep thinking every day, well, today I'll go and sit down and crank out 5,000 words and get it done. So far that hasn't happened. For the most part, it's because I've got just so many distractions. When I was working full time, I didn't have this number of distractions. Yeah, I had the same number of kids, I had the same number of wives, I had, you know, all of the same kinds of crap. But I also had a job. And that job meant people weren't making other demands on me during the day. They weren't making other demands on me in the evening. They weren't making other demands on me other than the bare necessities of getting by. Now I get, you know, hundreds of interruptions over the course of a day. Most of them from my family. Most of them from my wife. Most of them from voicemail, phone calls, through instant messaging. And, I understand that I'm home. My sister, who runs a farm in Maine, went to stay after my October, had the best take on it, and she runs into it all the time because she works at the farm. People drop by and figure she's going to be able to just drop everything and have a cup of coffee for an hour and have a nice visit and everything's going to be fine. But in the meantime, she's got cows that need milking. Good morning. She's got work that needs to get done, and it's not getting done while she's in the kitchen entertaining guests. So this is, it became very clear in a lot of ways yesterday. Yesterday's therapy was rather enlightening. I've had two or three breakthroughs, and this is unusual for me. It usually takes years for me to get to the point where I get any kind of movement. I've already had a couple, three episodes where I left thinking, oh, yes, of course. Yesterday was one of those. Something that I've always said, something that I've always maintained, but something that I lose track of, or that I have lost track of when I lost my job, which kind of goes back to where I started this conversation. I'm always working. A lot of what I do doesn't appear on the page right away. It doesn't appear as an audio file right off the bat. But I'm always working. Everything that happens to me becomes grist for the greater mill. And even if I'm not writing right now, even if I'm not putting words on the page at the moment, even if I'm not recording even, that isn't because I'm not working. It's because I'm not in production mode at the moment, and that by trying to force myself into the mode, all I'm doing is keeping myself from doing it. The wonderful irony of that whole enlightenment was that when I got home yesterday, I wrote more words in one sitting than I've done in the past 3 months total. Yeah, total, because that would include December. So it was pretty astonishing to me that it's like, okay, I need to stop doing some of this. Worrying about production and let myself work. Because the work in the past has always flowed quite nicely, and it's only stopped flowing when I've tried to force it to flow, which seems stupidly obvious. And perhaps that is the definition of writer's block. I don't know. Regardless, doesn't matter. I had a good day yesterday. I actually got some words wrote down a few. I've written a few thousand this morning. None of it has been fiction. Most of it has been commentary on various forums. I left a few comments on some blogs. I left a long update on Facebook for one of the groups. There's a podcasting community group. And a couple of the people in that group, I know most of them. I know some of them, let me put it that way. But a lot of them are the old school marketing types who are concerned with ideas like content being evergreen and how having evergreen content means that you can increase your numbers because people who are looking for that evergreen content will find it years sometimes after you've produced it. And so what you're doing is providing a lasting pool of quality content. Now, for me, that's a little bit off the board because my books are, for whatever reason, would fall in the category of evergreen. They are not timely. The majority of the downloads, of course, happen near where the books are released, but the books never stop being downloaded. I looked the other day, Quarter Share is still ticking along on between 40 and 100 downloads a day. 100 new downloads. First episode. Not 100 across the 16 episodes, but just between 40, 50, and 100 every single day of people who are finding Quarter Share for the first time. Now, for a lot of people, having 100 listeners is a big audience. For me, it's the next incremental level. At 22,000 listeners, 100 is less than 1%. It's like half of a percent. Yeah, about a half of a percent a day. And it's probably more like, realistically, a quarter of a percent a day that my listener base grows by. So a quarter of a percent, if you only have 100 listeners, you know, a quarter of a percent is like, oh gosh, it's like one a week, two a week, three every 2 weeks, something like that. So it's really difficult to get that kind of momentum going. So having evergreen content, I suppose, is one way to do it. But the reality is that by focusing on the quality of the content, by focusing on what you're putting out instead of your connection with your audience, by substituting content for connection, you really don't get to take advantage of what I consider to be some of the strengths of social media. So I left a long, way too long post on the Facebook group because this whole idea of evergreen content, when I first started bringing it up, I thought, what the hell are you talking about, evergreen content? Who cares? What is this? And the comment made was that I hear a lot of people talking about their content as evergreen. Like, really? I may run in the wrong circles, but I've never heard anybody say that. And it turns out that there are a few people who have actually talked about it. I went and saw a podcast where the subject was how to increase your listenership by including evergreen content in your podcast. And it's like, really? And here's what it comes down to, and it occurred to me, because I was talking about 1,000 True Fans before, and Dave Robeson from the Roundtable actually went and looked it up and posted a graph and a link to show them the power curve that represents 1,000 True Fans that shows what we mean by the long tail, because a lot of people are looking at their podcasts, their episodes, individual episodes, as having long tails. And while that's true to an extent, it's also not what's meant by the long tail. The long tail is a phenomenon where a few projects, a few properties, have the majority of uptake. So there's a few blockbuster films, there's a few bestseller novels, there's a few breakout music hits. And you can, you know, group them by author, you can group them by actor, you can group them by whatever you want to group them by. But there's only a few at the very top who are making the vast majority of sales, who are getting, who would under normal circumstances be getting the most money. And that's because, well, and in fact, in all circumstances, they are the individuals who are earning the most. Now, the problem is that in mainstream media, the long tail chops off at about 1,000. If you don't have at least 1,000 people, then you typically aren't going to be able to be included in the private club of hits. It's actually a little bit bigger depending on the medium. A television show is probably only like the top 1%. If you don't have 85,000 viewers, and you're kind of left to your own devices. 85 million. So it really depends. But the long tail doesn't refer to the fact that I get most of my downloads in the first few weeks. It refers to the fact that there is a market niche that my podcast works in. And that podcast niche is way down the line. Some people like Sigler, from people like Lafferty, from people like Leo Laporte, and all of those guys who have huge mass market level numbers. I'm way down the list, and that's fine, because that's really not, you know, I don't have that level of appeal. It's not my market strategy. The reality is, I may not be making quite as much money as Leo Laporte, but I'm one of the many who is comfortable with it. I'm making comfortable coin. And that by following the strategy of 1,000 true fans, of Big Frog, Small Pond, of making those connections and leveraging social media, I'm able to get a response rate that people like Laporte, that people like, trying to think of who are some of the big names are. Ira Glass, the NPR podcast. You know, they go out to hundreds of thousands, and yet, are they making that much? Do they get that much in donations? I suspect that they probably do get some, but really? Is it enough? I don't know. I also don't know what their subscriber numbers are. I would hope, I would suspect that it would be quite much, a lot larger than 22,000. Maybe I'm wrong. So I spent a lot of time today talking about writing and marketing. There's a blog post about who cares about the quality of writing. There's apparently a new Viking book out, the Viking Penguin publication that's put out without edit. And how terrible it is that at first they started sacrificing marketing and now mainstream is sacrificing editing. What are they bringing to the table in terms of how does this work? And the answer turns out to be, they're talking about it, so it must be doing something. And there are quite a few thousand people who have already bought it, so it must be less of importance than you might think. And it was a typical author rant about how nobody cares except me about the quality of writing. And I left a long comment about how quality writing isn't really cut and dried, and that you don't get to declare what's quality writing. Sturgeon's law holds, and it's unilateral. That is, I get to declare what 10% of the good stuff is for me and what the 90% of crap is for me. And while the perception is that the gatekeeper function with mainstream press has been to weed out the crap, the reality is a lot of the crap that they weeded out the stuff that I might have liked to read. And a lot of the stuff that they think is good falls into my crap category, because Sturgeon's Law is unilateral. And the reality is that what they've always been the gatekeeper of is what sells. It's not that it's good, it's not that it's bad, it's just that it's most likely to sell a metric buttload. And that's what they are the gatekeeper of. And the problem is capacity. They can't possibly publish everything because each incremental project carries a very large cost. Unlike long tail, where each incremental project carries a decreasing cost, like what I do, they can't afford to take those risks. That's why they're the gatekeeper. It's also why they're in trouble. So I wrote a lot today, but it hasn't been fiction yet. It's still early. I am, however, at the back gate, and tomorrow is another day. I'll talk to you then.